B-Pod Studios.
It's a Rap Party Podcast, everybody.
Hello.
Normally, we record the podcast earlier than 10:30 a.m. when we're currently recording it, but we're busy. We're busy on a plan that has taken up a ton of our summer, and the results aren't where we need them to be, and we're not talking about our show's performance.
No. In fact, I'm cooked. It's 10:30. I'm cooked.
And it's because Roy's become a logistics man for the radio show.
I mean, hopefully UPS has automated systems that does whatever they do, because I'm trying to map out. You know, we had a cool idea of the Frontline Hero Lives Here sign to put in the yard all across the Carolinas to all of our listeners. But the problem with our fans, and we love you for this, but y'all are everywhere. You really are everywhere. And it's not like 20 of you live on the same road.
No.
We have thousands that live all across. And so it's like we're trying to map out where to go. And it's a lot.
Everything is like an hour to an hour and a half away from the radio station. And when you factor in the fact that you drive an hour and a half to drop off two signs, doesn't add up to
that's
it.
One way.
Right. Yeah. And it doesn't add up to it being feasible.
No, it took us 3 hours to deliver like two signs one day.
So on top of that too, Loren, is because you haven't done the signs. Obviously, you're still on maternity leave, just working from home on the mic. But like Roy and I, our idea was too to like, not only are we going to travel to you to deliver the signs, but we want you to be home so that you're there, like the publisher's clearinghouse, when we deliver the signs, we can get pictures and stuff. And it's just that that's even more impossible.
Because then you're trying to align your schedule with their schedule. And then I got so frustrated. We never even told Nicole this, but we got so frustrated because we delivered to a certain area and we traveled a long way to get there. Spent all day delivering these signs. And then the next day we come to work and we find out that there's another sign that needs to be delivered in that area.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, well, what? How come we just didn't do it the last time we were out there? She goes, well, they emailed us back just now.
Yeah, we're not delivering to anybody who hasn't given us permission.
Yeah. And I'm like, well,
then we should hold that whole group off until we get permission, or until we say, hey, forget it.
Or like, we shouldn't have delivered signs until we had everyone's response.
Of course. Right.
Oh, yeah. My God, I was so irritated.
Yeah, I know. There's a bunch of different ways. And by the way, this is all based on something new. Like, we used to have a promotions department that would help do these things for us. You know, we'd be able to go deliver 20, but they could deliver the other, you know,
sure,
120 or whatever, however many we give away.
We're trying to figure it.
So now we want to mail a bunch to, like, Chesney, South Carolina, Blacksburg, Spartanburg, Cherryville. Where was the one? There's one that's in the middle of nowhere, North Carolina. I mean,
Sugar something?
Yeah.
Sugar Grove.
I don't know.
I've never heard of them.
Sparta.
And then, so these signs, I find out that, well, the best way to do it is to kind of create your own shipping. Create your own.
Is that the logistics thing you were working on?
Yeah, that's the logistics things. Because
you mean just map it out?
No. Like if you're going to ship it, you don't want to put that little sign in a massive box, right? Because the sign's so thin. They're like, so you can either take a bunch of rolls of cardboard, you could take a bunch of rolls of cardboard paper and then tape everything together.
Yeah.
And then send it that way. And I'm like, well, how scary is that? That they're going to get all the paper that's taped and rolled and bounded. I'm like, that's weird.
Yeah.
And then they said you could take a cardboard box and just the side of the cardboard, take a knife and etch out the inside of the cardboard and then put the sign in that and then staple the top.
That's good.
Okay. So I was looking at that, but they're like, cause it's going to be too much money for you to buy a box to put that in a box and then try to fill it and send to one person. So then I'm like, well, now I've got to figure out how to get some cardboard boxes and cut them out.
Well, that's what happened to us. We ordered a sign. It's so funny. I saw Al Roker posted a picture of this sign that he had in his yard. And it says, in this house, we believe Black Lives Matter. Women's rights are human rights. No human is illegal. Science is real. Love is love. And kindness is everything. And I was like, that hits on a lot of really great things. So I took a screenshot of it and I sent it to Amanda. Friday, we're sitting out on my driveway having drinks with the neighbors. And then the Amazon guy comes And, you know, we're all joking about who's going to get the packages. And the guy comes and, you know, he throws out packages like it's the prison, you know, and it's like mail day. And so we get this real flat looking package. And I was like, what's that? And she goes, oh, that's our sign. And I go, shit, you ordered it? I just sent it to you as like, you know, this is cool. She's like, oh, yeah, I love that. I ordered it. But it came in a really thin package.
Yeah.
And I just split it open and the sign and the spikes were in there.
That's what we need to do. But I don't know how to do that. Also, don't want to waste a lot of energy on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But what are we going to do? Drive to Chesney and Blacksburg? And I mean, for one sign, drive an hour and a half?
Yeah.
It's hard because it's our thing that we want to do for you guys, for the frontline heroes. And we started this in June.
We've been doing this for two months.
We've only gotten through about 50 signs.
If that.
And a quarter of our signs. And we need to get way more out there. And Roy's all excited because we found out a way to deliver 11 in 2 hours.
When I figured out that we found a group of people between Huntersville, Davidson, Concord, and Harrisburg, that there, but thank God the interstate. Because before, all these other ones, I know you're just sitting here listening to us, bitch, but all the other ones was like off the interstate and we had to take windy roads. And that's what I think took forever. This thing, we could shoot up 77, cross over to 85, come back down.
But it is really cool because we never know where you guys, we know what town you're calling from, but we never know where you're actually calling from. And it's kind of cool to drive through these towns. And when someone says, hey, you know, I'm calling from
Lenore,
yeah. Or, you know, I'm calling from Harrisburg, and you go there and you actually see the town and you see how cool it is. And, you know, I mean, it is cool to see where you guys are at. So
I do this thing every time we drive to your town to deliver a sign. I look there and I'm like, can I live here? This is so nice. I like it here.
Yeah. We're definitely get all we want. The idea was to get them all out by summer, but that's just not going to happen.
That was the goal.
You know, it's just not going to happen. But we'll get it done. And then the other thing we talked about on today's show was how people who had the surgery had like a vasectomy but still ended up having a baby. And I mentioned that like my wife and I, it wasn't even a scare. My wife was just, her time of month was late and she's like, oh my God, you know, could it be and how cool would it be and would you be mad because you wanted two kids and then, you know, now we'd have a third.
More mad I paid for the surgery and it didn't work.
Yeah, what's that say about that doctor's ability?
It's like, but I had to sign something that said that it could happen. Yeah, that there's a small percentage that it could still happen.
Dallas's sister was a vasectomy baby.
Oh.
Yeah, it does happen. And actually, we got a phone call from someone named Paul who heard you two, Roy and Loren. As soon as I told that story on the radio, you both were like, well, how do you know it's yours? And I was like, I can assume maybe that my wife is only sleeping with me, but you're right. And actually, Paul sent us, or we had a phone call, and Paul said that he blamed his wife for cheating, and this is what happened.
All right, Paul, welcome to the Manny Roy in the Rim Morning Show, Paul.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing well, dude. So we were just talking about Miracle Children, about how I got snipped and my wife had a scare, and we thought that maybe a third child was on the way unexpectedly. Roy and
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Friend, we're like, well, was it yours? And I'm like, of course. What? Of course.
No, I went the exact. I went the exact way that Roy was going to go with it. So I totally freaked out. We just moved down here from New York. We had the boy-girl combo. Had a surgery done before we left. This is awesome. No problem. Took a big job transfer. Came down here. We're down here for 2 weeks, and she's like, I think we got a small issue. And I was like, all right, whose is it? And that's instantly where I went to. I was like, we're going back to New York. You're going back. I'm staying here with the job. And she's instantly trying to figure out how we're financially going to do it. She went the smart way. And she's worried about everything else and how the siblings are going to get along with another one. And
Yeah, and she's like, you idiot. You're the one. Like, I didn't cheat with anyone. Meanwhile, you can't, you know, believe it.
Right. Well,
in his head,
up.
He's like, yeah, how are they going to get
pretty well,
along
so,
with
yeah,
a half-child?
So. I'm sorry?
Loren was saying, how are you going to get along after this child?
Oh, well, everybody's great now. That was 10 years ago. So, I mean, you can call him a miracle. He's more of a little bit of pain, but yeah. But, yeah, no, it all worked out for the best. We decided to keep him, and it turns out it really is mine, so it worked out perfect in the end.
I was going to ask, how did you actually know it's yours? Not to stir the pot or anything like that, but did you get a paternity test, or did you just take her word for it after a while?
Well, after I recovered and got up off the floor, I took her word for it, and then she, my son has cystic fibrosis. That's why we moved down here, my first son. Mm-hmm. So when we moved down here, it was our plan not to have any more children. In fact, it was dangerous for us to have them. So when we came down here, miracle child, yes, didn't wind up having the cystic fibrosis, but we had to put his gene map up on a screen. So the doctor was laughing when we're telling the story. He's like, yep, that's you. And that's why. So it wasn't necessarily a test I needed to get done. Like I said, after she knocked me out for accusing her of that, I came up off the floor, and then
yeah, you knocked her up, she knocked you out.
Pretty much, there you go, yeah.
That's awesome. What part of New York did you move down from, Paul?
Long Island. We were out on Suffolk County.
Okay, so does that make you a suffering Jets fan like myself?
No, unfortunately, I was raised with four sisters, so I know everything that happened on General Hospital, but I can't tell you what happened in sports at all. I'm the one in the kitchen usually on Thanksgiving cooking with
everybody. Nice. Awesome. How long have you been down here?
10 years next week, actually. We'll be, we moved down right before Labor Day of 2010.
Damn. I've been here since 2012.
Okay.
Same with you, Loren.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Crazy,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, we love it.
All right.
We love it. We every time we go back, it's a little,
I know. Well, I love, you know what I love most about Paul is he's lost his accent. You know, he's really mended into the southern,
yeah,
the southern twang is really 10 years. Hasn't
well,
even
my kids were 2 and 3. No, I'm sorry, 1.5 and 2.5. Because my first two were only 9 months apart. Because we weren't supposed to have the second one either. Because when we found out we were carriers for cystic fibrosis, that one was a surprise. So technically only my daughter was planned.
Okay.
It was just one of those things.
Yeah, yeah. All right, dude. Well, thanks for listening to us. We appreciate you calling too.
Thank you, sir.
And isn't it funny that Paul's been here for so long and he still has that real thick New York accent?
Yeah.
That's how I want my guy that works at the pizza place to talk, or like the Italian restaurant, you know? That's how you feel like you're getting the authentic.
Kind of like when you go to Outback, you want them to have an Australian accent.
Kind of. Or if I go to a barbecue place, I want a real good Southern accent. Like, howdy, y'all.
I do. Every time I go, whenever, it's been rare, maybe twice I've gone to Outback and they've had an Australian accent. And I'm like, okay. Cut it out. You don't have to do that.
Good on you, mate. God, I miss Outback. I haven't been to Outback. I haven't been to Chili's. I haven't been to my favorite Italian restaurant that I go to.
The one in Pineville?
Yeah, all since March.
No, I still go to my Italian restaurant. I get a takeout.
Yeah, I wouldn't drive there for takeout. I would just drive there to eat there.
But you're right. I mean, Lorena, the only time I really eaten in restaurants was when I proposed, and I guess really Charleston.
You ate a lot in Charleston.
Yeah, but
I did in Asheville.
It was. Yeah, you have to, but also it's different there. Like I drive through South End of Charlotte, it is nuts about how many young people do not care about this virus and social distancing, to the point that I've even taken video of the neighborhood, all these because
Alan,
I am an Alan. When it comes to this, I am, because all these men, I'm like shocked. Because I'm shocked. I am shocked because you can then go to a place like Charleston, and they're taking it seriously. And it's just so interesting on how each individual community is reacting to this.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And ultimately that's why we have a problem. So you know. But I don't really eat out much. I haven't gone to TGI Fridays.
I know. I love Fridays. Cracker Barrel.
B-Dubs.
I did takeout from B-Dubs.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, but like my favorite little bar in Ballantyne is Waxhaw. It's a little local place. It's called DB's. What did I say? It's called it's called DB's.
Yeah.
And I went in there to get takeout the other day, and it doesn't look anything like I remember it looking. you know?
Why?
Just because tables are 6 feet apart.
Oh,
now,
okay.
Instead of sitting at the bar with 12 stools, there's like four tables pushed up to the bar.
Okay.
You know, gotcha. So that the bartender works those tables.
That's kind of like my sub shop here in South End. I love the no seating. All the tables are like stacked on top of each other.
Yeah.
Roy, have you been to the Restoration Hardware yet?
The restaurant? No, I've not. No. That's another prime example. I haven't. I'd love to, though, because it's beautiful. It looks just like the one in New York that I went to.
I want to go do something again.
Well, we can go there and drink wine, but we'd have to go. Like, that's the type of thing, Loren. We would need to go, like, at 12 noon when no one's there.
Yeah.
Or like 1 p.m. where we can kind of be away from people. Because you know dinner time at the Restoration Hardware is nuts.
I would think lunch would be nuts there, too.
All right, so like 2, 3.
Okay,
like,
2 o'clock's good. 2 or 3.
Yeah. Hey, when are we going to go to your house like and have wine?
I was going to say, let's start with my backyard. I thought we were doing that on Friday.
Yeah, you want to do that on Friday, Nicole?
Can we? Do you guys want to do that?
Oh, Nicole's at a part of a wedding. I forgot.
I do want to do that Friday, but I feel like you know what? I'm committed to someone else Friday. Who am
what?
I committed to?
Mr. Social all of a sudden.
Ew.
Loren wants to answer. Who are you committed to?
I am committed
to... You don't know people.
Sterling's former coworker, Kim, who retired at the beginning of this month. I'm having a celebratory wine with her Friday. Yep.
All right. Well, we'll do it another night.
Well, I'm available anytime. I'm daytime.
You're not.
Well,
Nicole can't come after her wedding.
No.
No, she's going to get tested 5 days after she goes to the wedding. She's going to work from home, right? Yeah, that's the plan.
But maybe like Saturday or something. What do we do on the weekend? Weekends are out.
Oh, no. We could do Saturday.
Yeah. As of right now, I don't have anything.
Okay. And tennis. We got to play tennis.
No, I'm all about that. And what I'm more about is riding bikes because I have a bicycle.
We got to ride bikes.
I have a bike.
You know what I'm starting to realize? We're a bunch of bullshitters. I mean, we talk and talk and talk about we're going to go play tennis. We're going to do this and nothing happens.
Because once we leave here, we all got our busy lives that we go back to. I hate
it. Okay, so can we put Saturday on the calendar?
For what? Bikes, drinks. Tennis, or drinks?
Drinks.
I like the way you prioritize that.
All of it. You know what we need?
We need
MRL.
It's
got
to be earlier, though, because my kids go to, like, Ruby goes to bed at 7:30.
It's a whole thing. You're right. Our lives are getting in the way of our fun. We need an MRL summer camp where the three of us just hang out for a week.
I know.
And we get to just have fun.
Roy, what time could you come on Saturday?
Yeah, well, I don't need to be him around for me to have a good time.
Yes, you do.
I don't know.
Is it like 4 o'clock?
Yeah, I can ask Sterling. I don't know what we're doing. I don't think we're doing anything Saturday.
Okay.
But now, of course, I'm saying that, and I'll get home, and he'd be like, "You idiot!" You know, ever since I got engaged, I realized that my communication and my relationship has.
I told you that I mentioned that yesterday. The minute you got engaged, your communication goes downhill.
It's gone downhill ever since.
All right. Well, we're gonna run, you guys, because we got to go to. Spartanburg to go deliver one sign, and then I gotta go to
Rhode Island later.
Where's the town? There's a town that I used to meet. Saluda. I gotta go to Saluda off of Highway 26 to go meet my mother-in-law and deliver a sign.
Where the hell is a Saluda?
Saluda is like a place. It's in between like Asheville and North Carolina off of 26. That's a little stop where I would go. Anyway, that's it, you guys. Have a great Tuesday. Say bye, Loren.
Bye.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.